Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
You are greatly blessed. You're privileged to be here this morning. Hallelujah. Yet all, say all. All who became disciples. Any disciples here? Yet all who became disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Now you find that at the end of chapter 13 of Acts, but it's interesting to see the context in which it is written. So the gospel then spread through the whole region. However, the Jewish leaders initiated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas by stirring up women of influence who were faithful to their religion and also the leading men in the city. They expelled Paul and Barnabas from that region. So they shook the dust of that place off their feet as a sign against their rejection of the truth and then traveled to Iconium. Yet all who became disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. So that statement is made within the context of persecution, actually having to leave a city because of the greatness of the persecution. Yet it didn't matter what was happening to them. It was what was happening in them that mattered. And joy, the joy of the Lord, is the result of what he does in you. And when you have the joy in you, it doesn't matter what happens to you. That whatever happens to you, you still rejoice because you have the joy within you. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is going to not just speak to us about his joy, he's going to do a work of joy within you. Amen. This morning. At least that's what he wants to do. He will need your cooperation. Now, fear is cold. Love is hot. The effect of fear in your life is to become like ice, freezes things, can actually freeze you into inactivity. You can even have areas of fear that you're not necessarily conscious of. You've just got so used to living with that fear, yet it's there within you. Sometimes things can happen to us that cause us to fear. And when that happens, there's a coldness somewhere deep inside of us. And the only thing that can melt the ice of that coldness is the love of God. But when the love of God touches what is frozen, it releases what is frozen. And instead of the fear, you have joy. God has, in these last 2 or 3 weeks or so, taken me through a process where he's been touching some deep areas of my life. What I didn't realize and appreciate was that it was because there was some hidden fear. Sometimes things happen to us that have that effect upon us. And what we do is we tend to put up kind of protection because we feel vulnerable. But what we're actually doing sometimes is putting a wall of protection around that fear. We do it because we think unless we do that, we'll get hurt more and there'll be more fear. And if you like, that area of coldness, I'm going to say of ice, within you increases. Sometimes you're conscious of it there, sometimes you're not. But whether you're conscious of it or not, it affects you. It affects your demeanor. It affects the way you feel. It affects the way you think. It affects the way you act. And fear or anxiety in any form is bad for you. Joy is good for you. If you read Proverbs, you know, a joyless heart is a depressed heart. And actually means that you have a depressed spirit. Whereas a joyful heart has a continual feast. So, the question is, are you having a continual feast? You see, it's got nothing to do with emotion. If this joy we're talking of is simply emotion, then you only rejoice when you feel like it. But if this is the joy of the Lord within you, then His love is melting those frozen parts. Yes, where there's been a kind of an ice, a coldness inside you. That brings release to your spirit, release to your heart, release to your life. And God showed me that through certain things, doesn't matter what, I'd been sort of carrying within me, deep within me. It was a very deep thing, which is why I wasn't conscious of it. You know, you know what's going on at the conscious level of your mind, but you don't always recognize what is going on in the subconscious and certainly not in the unconscious, the deepest part of your being. And the Lord just showed me I'd been carrying this around with me without ever realizing it. But God always has His way, doesn't He, of touching these deep things. Sometimes in unexpected ways, but He has His way of doing it. And God just got through to that block of ice, because that's how He described it to me just the other day. He said, it's as if you've had a block of ice. A block of fear, a block of negativity there, and you weren't even conscious of it, but it has affected your life. And the other day, you know, my wife said to me, I've been praying that the Lord would restore your joy. And I didn't know I'd lost it. And I said, what do you mean? She said, in recent times, you haven't been the joyful person that you used to be. And you know, she is seeing now is the joy has been restored. Hallelujah. But it was because God needed to do something within me to melt that ice. Now, what does the scripture say? The perfect love of God casts out all fear. So it's the love of God that has to touch that frozen part of us. Now, the problem is this, that we protect that part because it's where we feel most vulnerable. And none of us likes to be vulnerable. And actually, sometimes you have to make yourself vulnerable in order to allow God to touch the vulnerable parts of you. But if you allow Him to do that, He will melt the ice. the love will cast out the fear. And the symptom, if you like, or the result of that is the joy is restored. So it was good when the Lord said to, when my wife said, well, it's like the Lord saying to you, actually, but when your wife says to you, the second voice, it's when she said, you know, it's good to see you're getting more joyful again. Hallelujah. And it's because of what God has been doing within. Now, she is having to learn to rejoice because we're moving and she hates moving. So praise God. I'm praying for her now that her joy will be in moving. Hallelujah. But you see, the joy of the Lord within us enables us to overcome the circumstances. And that's exactly what was happening. There was persecution of a really vigorous kind. Whatever those women were doing and whatever the city leaders were doing really caused them to have to leave the city. Yet nobody could take their joy from them, because the joy was within them. Now, I've been sort of ultra conscious of this. I've been talking to you about the Holy Spirit and the anointing the last 2 or 3 weeks. And all the time during that period, God has been working in me deep in this joy. And I've known it. And you know, it says in the gospel that Jesus was full of joy and the Holy Spirit. And here, these disciples are full of joy and the Holy Spirit. The two sort of go together. Now, there's a superficial joy. We're not talking about that. You can have a superficial joy where people are just laughing and doing and you know, nothing really very much is happening. But God is doing a deep work in us. He has been doing a deep work in us for months. But during these last 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to have to be open and tell you. He's said, I want to see joy in your worship. He said, your worship here, if talking about Kingdom Faith, your worship has become deep, but it's also become joyless. And I thought, wow. What the Lord was saying to me is, you see, I want you to draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, those wells of salvation, that's the living water, isn't it? And they bring joy. Yeah. And you can have superficial wells that produce superficial joy. Or you can dig a deep well that gets down to the purest water. Yeah. You know, the surface water usually isn't nearly as pure as that which is in the deep well. So God says, I've been digging a deep well amongst you here so that you get down to the purity, to the very best that I have. But in the digging of the well, you have become so, everything has become so intensive that it's not exactly become joyless, but it's become joyless. There is no longer that note of joy. Even some of the songs we've been singing lately, one or two of the new songs, they're sort of a bit of a dirge. And then you get a joyful bit and you're thankful that at least we've reached the joyful bit. But, you know, this is something that needs, it's not just God saying, I want to join the worship, I want to change the worship. What he's saying is, I want to change the worshipers. I want to release the worshipers into a deeper joy, because this deep well is a tremendous work of the Lord that he's been doing amongst us. And I praise him for that. And yes, it's been tensive. Yes, there's needed to be that seeking after God. But my goodness me, if we're getting down to the purest water, that's going to be full of joy. Because Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So God delights in joyful worship. You see, what does it say? That we will enter Zion singing with joy, and everlasting praise shall be upon our lips. So, you know, we come in here and we curry asunder for a bit, and we stand there and we, you know, we're doing this, that, and the other. And it's all nice, and it's all sort of intensive, and it's all sort of focused on Jesus. But sometimes there's no joy. Yeah. And it's as if the Lord is saying, where's the joy? Where? Because what the scripture says is, rejoice in me always. It doesn't say, rejoice in me except when you're praying. And then stop rejoicing. And then, no, it says, rejoice always. So when we come in here, yeah, we need to focus on the Lord. We can kore asunder as much as we like and stand before him, but it's with joy. Oh, please yourself. But but now you see I'm getting this joy released. I can't stop it. Because what happens? What happens when God gets down to that ice and it melts? What actually that what that was living water. That you know, and it gets released, and now it bubbles up and flows out. You can't help it. You can't keep it to yourself anymore. Hallelujah. So we had a very joyful time at 6:30 this morning at communion because we couldn't keep it down, you know. The Lord was just bubbling over with joy. Hallelujah. See, everybody was very quiet, and then Andrea got up yesterday morning, and there was joy in what she was doing. I thought, yeah, Lord. Because that was so in line with what God had been saying to me. And everything changed at that moment. The whole meeting changed at that moment, yeah? And then some other prophetic things were released after that because the joy releases the Holy Spirit amongst us. Are we getting it? Yeah. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. So, we're not talking about trying to make ourselves joyful. We're talking about letting God do that work in us that will release the joy. What did Jesus say? These words I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. Not just a joy that responds and reacts to circumstances, but I want my joy in you. And then he said, for your joy to be full. Now, if Jesus wants you to have fullness of joy, God wants you to have fullness of joy. And I've had to say to the Lord in these last couple of weeks, I say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for losing that joy. Forgive me for somehow, you know, closing part of myself up. There's no excuse for doing it. I mean, we can understand reasons sometimes why we do it, but there's no excuse for doing it. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So there's going to be some ice melting here this morning. Or God is going to, he's going to begin a process in several people of melting the ice that is within you. Sometimes, you know, it might take a little bit of time. It doesn't all happen. If you've got a block of ice that's going to melt, it doesn't necessarily melt in half an hour. Hello? But God begins the process so that that block of ice is going to melt and you are going to be free. And it's because the love of God is going to touch that area of your life that has become frozen. Where you, for whatever reason, have shut him out without intending to do that. Because you felt vulnerable, you felt delicate, you didn't want anybody anywhere near that part of you. And then God, you know, he can do it, does a number on you. He just does something somehow, it doesn't matter how. Boom. And he gets behind your defenses and he touches that vulnerable part. And at first you want to say, ouch! And then he says, it's all right, because this is the hand of my love. And the hand of his love casts out all fear. All fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And I was sort of reflecting on that during this whole process. And the Lord says, you know, when you shut part of yourself off from the touch of my love, what actually you're doing is punishing yourself. And that may be because you think you deserve to be punished, in which case you're not trusting in my mercy, in the full meaning of my mercy. Or it may be because you feel others are punishing you, even unjustly. But fear has to do with punishment. And these guys that we just read about in Acts, they were being dealt with unjustly, just because of their witness to the gospel. But instead of get frozen with fear, they were full of joy and the Holy Spirit. Looking around, I can see why God has laid this message on my heart this morning. Am I looking at dozens of blocks of ice here? But there's going to be some thawing out. You know, I think the process is probably still going on within me because, you know, God, sometimes it's a deep work that God is doing. But that doesn't matter. It's reached the joy bit. Yeah. The release of joy is happening. And I'm so thankful. I didn't even realize I'd lost it, you know. But, of course, my wife lives with me, and so she recognizes the difference when you don't even see it yourself. So praise God. You were blessed, you ladies, weren't you, when you heard my wife speak the other day?
Yes.
She's anointed, isn't she?
Yeah.
She hates speaking, but she's anointed when she does. So praise God. Now, we are not talking about having an emotional experience. We're not talking about something that is going to happen this morning because we're talking about it and because we're together here and because of the anointing of the Spirit. We're talking about God doing a deep and profound and lasting work in us that is going to have long-term effect. Now, the only thing here is that you have to want that. Even though the first touch of that love upon that ice might be, it's God saying, it's all right. This is me. Don't be afraid because fear is your problem. Fear is what the ice is. Just trust me. That thing he's always saying to us, just trust me. I know what I'm doing. And it's out of my love for you that I want to thaw you out. Deep work. I'm a very intensive person. I hate superficiality. Those of you who've been listening to, you know, the lectures on 1 John, you know that I've caught that from him. It's contagious, that he can't stand anything superficial. And if you're in the work of the Lord, you see so much superficiality, and you just know really the fruitlessness of whatever is superficial. But when God does deep work, it's going to be lasting work, but it's going to be fruitful work. And the Lord said to me, you see, if you, meaning not just me, but us corporately, if you allow me to do that work of joy in your heart, then you will take joy to the joyless. But you can't take joy to the joyless if you're not rejoicing yourself. Now, who knows that all the unsaved people, some of them might think they're happy, but they're not joyful. They don't know true joy. They are joyless people. Amen? So God wants us to take joy to the joyless, but not a superficial. You know, smile, Jesus loves you. I mean, you know, it's got to be something more profound than that, hasn't it? that something of the deep joy within us becomes contagious to them. Now, because that joy is linked with love, it means that with this release that God is giving us, we can take... It's his love, isn't it? It's his love that's melting the ice. Have we got this? His love is melting the ice, producing the joy. So actually, what is going to flow out is not just the joy, but the love that has produced the joy. And isn't that what the scriptures are talking about all the time, that we're to love others, we're to love them, by allowing that love to pour out of us, the love that he has put in us by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was full of joy and the Holy Spirit. These disciples, even the people that became disciples, were being filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Smile, Jesus loves you. Amen. You see, it says, doesn't it, that it was the anointing of the oil of joy that was upon Jesus that raised him above his companions. The thing that should mark us off from other people is not just the love, but the joy that goes with the love. And you see, if we allow ourselves to be conditioned by what happens to us in the world and what others do to us and all the rest of it, if we will lose the joy, the block of ice will increase. We'll become more frozen. Mm-hmm. But if we allow the joy of the Lord, because we allow the love of the Lord, to actually touch those deep unfrozen parts, so the ice melts, then the joy of the Lord, the love of the Lord, and so the power of the Lord will flow out of us. When we were living in community, one of the young women came to me one day and said that God had really spoken to her through the verses in Philippians about rejoicing always and giving thanks in all circumstances. And she said, I'm going to do this. I have set myself the task. I am determined that during this next week, I am consciously going to choose to rejoice always and give thanks. Now, that was good, wasn't it? Because it is a decision that you have to make. So often, the circumstances are not right, and you really do not feel like rejoicing, so you have to make a conscious decision that you will rejoice. And sometimes, you know, the circumstances are such that you don't feel like giving thanks in all circumstances, and so you really have to make yourself do that. After a few days, I asked her how she was getting on with it. And I can't remember what she said exactly, but the sense of what she was saying was this. Well, okay, but what I realize is God needs to do something in me. That I can't do it by effort. I can't do it just by determination. I can't do it just by deciding to do it. He's got to do something in me to enable me to do it. And so, you know, as a result of that, God did a deep and profound work in her life. Because, you see, she opened herself up to what the Spirit of God needed to do so that she could then rejoice always and give thanks. Yeah. Not just through sheer gutted determination, but because of what God had worked deep within her. So, that's a bit of an example for all of us, isn't it? As to what God really wants to do. Praise God. I've got so much stuff here, all about joy, but You know, when do we rejoice? Yes, but you see, there are some times we instinctively rejoice. Like every time there's victory over the enemy, you rejoice. And, you know, the sort of joy level goes up. Right? Every time you get an answer to prayer, you rejoice. Whoa, the joy level goes up. Why? Because while that's happening, it's good. It's good. Of course it's good. But we're still responding just to external stimulus. That joy is just a response to what is happening. We've really reached something significant when we can rejoice before we see the victory. That we rejoice before we see the answer to prayer. Because we're so confident that we will see the answer to prayer. We're so confident that we will see the victory. That the joy starts not when it happens, but when we believe. So this joy is not only the result of the love of God melting those frozen parts and enabling the joy to come and all the rest of it. It's also the response to faith. Those of you who've read my books know that I say that joy is the barometer of your faith. You can always tell when you're walking and moving, praying with faith, because when faith is operating in your life, you are joyful. If you're not joyful, faith is not operating at that moment. But just like the love produces that joy, so the faith produces that joy. And therefore, it doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter how difficult the circumstances. You will still rejoice. And actually, rejoicing over the circumstances then changes the circumstances. And it changes your attitude towards the circumstances. Can we see that? So faith is going to affect this joy. The love is going to affect this joy. The other thing that has a dynamic effect upon whether you rejoice or not is light. You see, we are the children of light that are to walk in the light. And when we're walking in the light, we're walking in the one who is the light, and there is joy. See, what's the opposite of light? Darkness. If we're walking in darkness, then there's no joy. So sin is darkness. So, of course, if you get into sin, then there's no joy. You lose that joy until you get restored to the Lord, and then the joy comes back, knowing the joy of his forgiveness, the joy of his mercy. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And the result of all that is that we really are full of joy because we are full of the knowledge of the Lord's acceptance. So what flows out of us as a joyful people is the faith, the love, and the light. And that light produces the good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Are you there?
Yes.
So, praise God. Not much point in talking about it. We've just got to let him do it, yeah? So, God wants to do a deep work. Now, let me just talk, just before we pray, just talk about this a bit. Those deep areas that I've just used this as an analogy of being frozen of ice because it was a word that the Lord spoke to me and it just described to me just so accurately, really, what I came to see had been happening in me. And in one sense, it doesn't matter how the ice was formed. What matters is getting it melted. We don't have to analyze the ice.
Yeah.
Huh? we just have to recognize what it is that needs to be melted by the love of God. What those areas of fear are that need to be cast out by his love. Now, sometimes they will be things that you have been carrying around for years, possibly without realizing it. And God just brings that word of revelation by his Spirit to your heart. He could do that this morning. You see, you might listen to me now and say, wait a minute. I'm not joyful. I'm not full of joy in the way that Pastor Colin is talking about. Well, now, why not? You see, what's preventing that? Because God has poured his joy into your heart by the Holy Spirit. If you're full of the Spirit, you're full of joy, because he's the Spirit of joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy. Okay? So if you're not joyful, why aren't you joyful? It's not because the Lord hasn't given you the joy. It's because somehow there's something that is restricting and inhibiting the joy from being revealed, expressed through you. And therefore, there's something that God needs to do in you. Now, the worst thing you can do is to start to analyze yourself and to search yourself. That is counterproductive to the whole thing. But the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And the Holy Spirit will just show you what it is that he wants to do. And some of you may, you know, be very introspective kind of people, fearful of relationships, fearful of this, that, and the other. And God says, it's time for me to touch those areas of fear that have plagued your life for as long as you can remember. I don't want you to continue like that. I want you to be free of those fears. Fear of people, fear of authority, fear of being loved. Be all kinds of fears, can't there? God says, I don't want that fear because there's no fear in love. The only fear I want you to have is the fear of the Lord. And that's to be in awe of him, not afraid of him. So, the Holy Spirit will show you what he needs to do in you, so long as you are open to what he wants to do. And if you get an ouch at the beginning, it's okay. It's actually a good sign. Because it signifies that you're now allowing the Spirit of God to get to an area where you shut him out previously. Now, he's doing this for three reasons. First and foremost, for his own sake. Everything the Spirit does in you is first and foremost for the Lord's own sake, for his glory, because he will be glorified, he will be blessed by you allowing him to do in you what he wants to do. Then secondly, of course, he does it for your sake, because it's so much better to be liberated than to be frozen. Yes. Or even to have a part of you that is frozen. And then thirdly, he's doing it for the sake of all the people that your life is going to impact because you got unfrozen. Because that thawing process, instead of being afraid, now the love and the joy and the light and the faith just pours out of you in the way that he intends. And what's going to be the outcome? You're going to become a more joyful person. Now, you don't all have a husband or wife to tell you how you're getting on in that category. But what I can tell you is those that are close to you, even those that are close to you here, they will notice the difference. Not just as a result of one meeting now, but over these next 3, 4, 5 weeks, they will notice the difference in you. And you will begin to feel the difference in yourself. And you'll begin to say, oh, thank you, Lord, that in your great love for me, you cared enough about me to even want to touch those areas of life, of my life, where I had shut you out because I was afraid. And of course, as a result of that, the worship is going to become transformed. It's deep and profound and good. I'm not being critical of it. I'm just saying what the Lord said to me. It's lacking something. And what God wants to do is to restore what is lacking, so that together with the holiness and the depth and all the rest, the real heart seeking after God, the joy of the Lord is restored to the worship. We'll need some new joyful songs, those of you that write songs. We're going to need, in the next few weeks, we're going to need some new joyful songs. And we'll need to take into camp some joyful songs, because God wants thousands of joyful people at camp. He wants to do a deep and profound work, but he wants them to know his joy. Because, you see, the deeper the work he does in us, the greater the joy. But we need songs that will express that joy. They won't cause the joy, but they will express that joy. So those of you who are songwriters, get writing. Amen, because we need them we will need them within 2 or 3 weeks. Is that all right? Otherwise, we'll have to sing some of the old songs. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I don't think all of you want to go back to those days. But it's better to sing that than to sing something that's joyless. I mean, singing those joyful words of Scripture, let me tell you, they had great impact on people's lives. So you've got the option. Write some good new joyful songs, or I promise you, in 2 weeks' time, we'll all sing... The joy of the Lord is my strength. And then you're in real trouble. So, hallelujah. So praise God. Are we all in? Yes. Let's stand then, shall we? Now, you see, the great temptation now will be to start to look at yourself and to say, oh God, where are these frozen areas? Listen, you probably know already. Hello? You've probably got a pretty good idea already, because you know what areas of fear you have in your life. Yes? Now, you may not know why that fear is there, but you know the fear is there. And all you have to do is, you don't have to say, oh, Lord, show me why there's... Just, Lord, touch this area of my heart and life. Whatever is causing that fear, I'm opening myself up now, so you deal with the cause. Can you see, if he deals with the cause, then the fear is going to go? Amen? So what we're going to do is focus on the Lord. not on ourselves. Focus on the Lord. And as you focus on the Lord, so the Holy Spirit will then begin to minister his love. Not the joy, remember, it's the love that casts out the fear. So it's the love that's going to melt the ice and then release the joy. So let's just praise him, shall we? Can we have some sort of joyful praise? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We bless you. Give you glory, Lord. Give you honor. Give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful, 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 Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Pura tabari a little bacalasita, the sandari a little bacalasita. Pura tabari, yes, 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 yes. Pura tabara zarabali a little bacalasita, the santuma. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, you are so great. You are so wonderful. You are so mighty. Praise your holy name. Bless your holy name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, bless you, bless you, Lord. We exalt you, we praise you. We magnify you, we glorify you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, you are so good. Your mercies endure forever. Thank you that you always want the best for us, Lord. You're never content with second best. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, don't get all introspective, but just open your heart. Now, open those areas of your life, whatever it is. It's not going to be just the result of a prayer. Oh, Lord, deliver me from a spirit of fear. No, no, no. He says the perfect love of God casts out the fear. So where you're conscious of areas of fear, just tell the Lord now, Lord, I want your love to touch those areas of my life, to melt that fear, to cast that fear out of my life. Just remember, fear is cold. You see, if you're a fearful person, you're a cold person. At least to some extent. The more that love melts the ice, you become hot. Full of love, full of joy. God wants you hot, not cold. He doesn't want you lukewarm. He spits the lukewarm out of his mouth, doesn't he? According to Revelation. So, he wants you hot. Can you thank him for that, Lord? Thank you that you want to melt all that ice. You want to deliver me from all my fears.
Now, often that fear has been caused through hurt. And you know that if people have hurt you, you need to forgive them. That's, of course, essential if you want the hurt to be healed. But you know, sometimes we can forgive people and still not allow the healing of the hurt to take place. So just open now to the Lord those areas of your life where you know in the past you have been hurt. Don't focus on the hurt and what happened. Don't start going back in your memory over all those things. But just say, Lord, I'm letting you in now to the place where I hurt. Now, what many of you will have done is buried the hurt rather than have had that area of your life healed. You have protected yourself by burying the hurt. Now take the protection away. Because that protection is not just keeping further hurt out, it's keeping the Lord out, it's keeping the healing out. So just take that protection away right now. Might feel vulnerable, but that's okay. In your vulnerability, God can touch or begin that thawing process, that healing process in that area of hurt. Thank you, Jesus, that you hurt on the cross. You suffered all the pain of rejection, of betrayal, of false accusation, of lies, of hatred. You took all that hurt as you experienced the pain of the cross. You took all my pain upon yourself. So, Lord Jesus, I let you into my areas of pain, where I have been hurt, and where I have been hurting. And I thank you that you come with your touch of love. And thank you that that love will heal the hurt over these coming days. Thank you that you will free me from all the effects of that hurt. For where your spirit is, there is freedom. And where there is freedom, there is joy. So, Lord, I'm opening those areas of my life to you this morning so that your Spirit can bring freedom from the pain, freedom from the hurt, freedom from the fear. thank you, Lord, that as your Spirit works that in me by your love, so the joy will replace the fear. And instead of being afraid, I will rejoice in you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, fear causes tiredness. Because you expend a whole lot of nervous energy protecting the fearful parts of yourself. So God is actually going to release some new energy in the lives of many, many of us here as he deals with those areas of fear. The joy is released, and with the release of the joy, there'll be a release of new energy, fresh power. Thank you, Lord. Now, God's just beginning the process. We're not expecting everything to happen just in a few minutes, but he's beginning the process. But I want you to tell him why you want him to do this. For his glory, because he's not glorified in the areas of fear. He's not glorified in the way that those areas of fear have restricted you, inhibited you, sometimes caused you to retreat. Sometimes, you know, you have a real problem relating to people and you don't know why you have that problem. And it's because God actually needs to deal with those areas of fear that make relationships a problem. So he is glorified as you allow him to deal with those issues. Touch those areas of your life. So you want him to do this for his glory. But also for your own good. The Lord spoke to us, didn't he, earlier in this term about his goodness. Another fruit of his Spirit. It's for your good. Because of his love for you. That he wants to see you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So thank him, he's bringing his freedom into those areas of your life. You know those plants that when you touch them, they close up in protection. Well, you're like that. When it comes to those areas of fear, you close up to protect yourself. And God says, no, no, now open up to my Spirit. Just because I'm touching that area of your life, don't close up. Open up. Open up. And for my glory, and for your good, let me set you free by my love. And then the third reason is so that you can take joy to the joyless, life to the lifeless, freedom to those who are in bondage. Instead of being afraid, the love, the joy, the faith, the light will flood out of you. People will see the good works that are produced by that light and give glory to the Father in heaven. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're working in each one, even now as we pray. Now just agree with the Lord that you're going to stay open to the touch of his love until the work is completed. We're talking here about God doing some very deep work in you. And when he does such work, it can take a few weeks even, certainly a few days. And as the process continues, so the freedom grows. And the joy becomes more and more evident. And you'll see how much of the process has taken place by how joyful you become. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. Right now, he's going to speak to you. He's just going to give me certain things to speak to you in love. And these words will have a liberating effect, but don't just listen to what I'm saying, because the Holy Spirit is likely to speak to you personally in specific ways that that are relevant to you. And the first thing he's saying to you is, I love you, the person that you are, not the person you should be or the person you want to be. But I love you as you are now, in order that I can heal and transform you into the person I want you to be. But I love you and I accept you now, even though I've been conscious of those areas of fear, of coldness within you, even though I know you've buried those things, I still love you. Even though you've tried to protect yourself, I still love you. And I love you so much, I want to touch those areas of your life and set you free. So just let the Lord speak those words to your heart. I love you. I love you. Not who you ought to be or want to be, but who you are. I love you. Now let my love in, because love casts out all fear. Thank you, Jesus. I was wounded for your sake, to heal you of every wound that you have suffered. I was wounded for your sake, not just for the sake of everybody else. I was wounded for your sake. To free you from all your wounds. The Lord is saying, do not feel sorry for yourself. You know, self-pity is like a spiritual cancer in people's lives. Don't feel sorry for yourself. You've got nothing to feel sorry for yourself about. I mean, you're a child of God, filled with the Spirit of God, loved and accepted by God, with the kingdom of God within you, living in Christ and Christ in you. You've got nothing to feel sorry about. But just let the Lord into those areas where there has been sorrow, where there has been grief. He carried your sorrow and your grief to the cross. Sometimes people are grieving without realizing they're grieving. You grieve not just because, you know, somebody you love has died, but grief can be the result of something that you have lost. Relationships that have been lost. Even a kind of freedom that was lost. Whatever it is, God has carried your grief and your sorrow. So that by his stripes you are healed and set free from that grief. Thank you, Jesus. God's touching some vulnerable things here. Just believe he's saying to some, you grieve over your loss of innocence. Some of you, even the loss of your virginity. But he is a God who is merciful. He is a God who forgives. He is a God who restores. He is a God who heals. He carried all that grief. To the cross. And he sets you free. Where there's that touch of love, there's the touch of his acceptance, as well as the touch of his healing and of his freedom. As somebody here, you even have a fear of marriage because of your experience of your parents' marriage, and God is setting you free from that fear because it's restricted and inhibited you. in your relationships, in your expectations of what God would do in your life. You see, he's getting very specific with people now. But don't wait for something from me. Just listen to what he's saying to you. Thank you, Jesus. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear, all fear, all fear. God is showing me that there are several people here. You have a fear of failure. That's been like a great block of ice within you. Because what it's done is to produce attitudes of negativity. You never expect the best, you expect the worst. You expect to fail, you expect to not to come up to the mark. And no matter what has caused that, God wants to touch that block of ice within you. He wants to touch that block of negativity that colors your thinking, colors your attitudes, colors your expectations. And he wants to set you free from all that. He's going to supply all the grace you need so you will not fail him in whatever he asks you to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Bless you, Lord. There are some that have fear of curse, fear of what the enemy can do. That fear doesn't belong to you. God's purpose is to bless you, not curse you. You don't have to live in fear of what the enemy would do, or what others would do in the name of the enemy. No, you live by faith in God who will always do you good. Thank you, Lord, you touch all these areas of fear with your love. Okay, now, rubber hits the road, really. God is touching all the emotional areas of fear. See, the love of God is of the Spirit, isn't it? But that love of the Spirit has to touch our emotions and cast the fear out of the soul, every area of the soul. So that your reaction to people, events, won't be one of fear, but it will be one of faith, it will be one of love, it will be one of light that will overcome the darkness, it will be one of victory, it will be one of joy, even in the face of adversity. That like those first disciples, you will be full of joy and the Holy Spirit. is you, Lord. So just acknowledge that those joyless emotions are not of God. And that the joy of the Spirit is going to touch the emotions in your life, so that even your emotions are joyful, if you can understand me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you receiving from the Lord? Praise God. His word and his spirit working together. Praise you, Lord. Remember, this is just the beginning of what God is going to work out in these coming days and weeks. So just begin to praise him now, because we're going to draw to a close. We want to rejoice in him before we finish. So just thank him for what he's begun. Praise him that he's going to continue the work till he's brought it to completion. Hallelujah. When you're thankful, you're joyful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Can you just lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, work in me joyful worship. Because you say in your word, I'm to rejoice always. So even when I worship, I'm certainly to be rejoicing in you. Hallelujah. I rejoice in you. I rejoice in your love. I rejoice in your goodness. I praise you, Lord. I bless you. I praise you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, I don't want heavy worship. I want joyful worship to flow from my heart. I want it to be deep. I want it to be profound. I want it to be real. I want it to be worship that comes from my heart. But because you fill my heart with your joy, I want it to be joyful worship. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, let's just flow with joy for a few minutes before we finish. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Bless your holy name. Oh, I rejoice in you. I delight in you. I praise you. I bless you. My Lord, my Savior, my King. You are so good. You are so great. You are so mighty. You are so wonderful. Oh, hallelujah. Now, you know, the scripture says that shouts of joy bring release. If the scripture says it, it must be true, right? So we're going to shout with joy to the Lord, not just for the sake of shouting, but because we believe God is going to bring release within us. Are you ready? Come on, let's give it a go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I praise you. How I love you. How I exalt you. How I
you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Now, the scripture also says that his people leap for joy. Jesus says, when you're persecuted, leap for joy. So joy leads to leaping. Does anybody know how to leap? Come on, let's just jump for joy. Let's just leap for joy.
We pray. We bless you. Oh, praise your holy name. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Now, it's one thing to be made to do it. It's one thing when you do it spontaneously because you're so full of joy. You can't keep still. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank you so much for what you're working in us. Continue the work, Lord, till what you intend to do in us is complete. Till we come to that complete freedom that you want to see in us. And Lord, just give us the grace not to close up. Even if sometimes it hurts to allow you into certain areas of our life. Thank you, Lord. It's for your glory, for our good, and so that we will take joy to the joyless. And we give you all the glory in his wonderful name. Come on, let's give our Lord a great big thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.